bad pride. Deep bad pride. Hello, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to another stupid fucking episode of the goddamn worst fucking show ever, Deep Fat Fried. These are my, Paul, what's going on?
Who's Paul?
I would prefer if you call me by my given name, Sitting Paul.
Sitting Paul?
Yes.
See, we talked about this.
How?
Well, this is, sitting. I can't. This is, you know, like cultural appropriate. What the fuck is that?
The call of my people, TJ. Their spirits call to me from beyond.
No, this is not. Look, this is serious shit now. You can't do this cultural appropriation shit on YouTube anymore.
I am not culturally appropriating, TJ.
What?
Many moons ago, an ancestor of mine came over on a ship from Ireland.
Uh-huh.
And he met a beautiful chestnut-haired Cherokee Indian princess.
Okay.
By the name of Abigail Lucinda Rainwater.
What a wonderful story.
Right.
Please continue.
So I, TJ, am a member of the Cherokee tribe, and thus the ancestors sing for me. You find our war cry to be funny, sir? If our tomahawks were falling upon your skull, you would not find it to be so funny.
Paul, you've never talked like this until this episode.
Well, that's because I'm here to defend another fellow member of the Cherokee tribe, a beautiful chestnut-haired woman by the name of Elizabeth Warren Rainwater.
All right, well, call me Chief Shilling Bullshit.
Stop appropriating my culture, TJ.
Jesus Christ.
The war tribe will come.
I never should have given him that soundboard, dude. All right, so Pessimist Productions. That's the company that we do Deep Fat Fried under. We do Cinema for Cynics under on occasion. We do my channel is under that. Hideology is under that. All kinds of bullshit. Pretty much anything you see the three of us doing anywhere is under the banner of Pessimist Productions.
Yeah.
We have a special treat. We're going to be going to a greasy spoon called the Big Chief, which I'm sure Paul is offended by that as a Native American.
Actually, no.
Oh, okay.
Because the food is good. It make red man look good.
Don't. Okay. Anyway,
okay. So, well, all right.
If Disney can do it, yeah. Paul can do it.
This episode be pulled down quickly.
Well, they can't do it because you know what? Paul does have, that Abigail Lucinda Rainwater in his background.
It is true.
But anyway, guys, we're pretty close to our goal of 4,000 where we go to the Big Chief in Gadsden, Alabama.
And if you want to help us pick a topic of
the town with the highest mortality rate in America, we're going to see what they're eating.
You know what, TJ? No one cares about that. They won the fucking chance to fucking pick an episode of Deep Fat Fried.
Yes. And Scotty, why don't you tell them all about that little contest you got going?
Well, look. Well, it's not a contest, TJ. It's a fucking offer. So
tell them that contest, Scotty.
It's not a contest, TJ.
It's
an offer, TJ.
Tell them that offer, Scotty.
Scroll down, TJ.
I'm scrolling.
Show the people.
Where? What? What am I showing?
There you go. So your topic equals Deep Fat Fried. So all new patrons will have a chance to help us select a brand new episode of Deep Fat Fried. Existing patrons, don't be fucking sad. Don't be sour. Don't be like, what the fuck? What about us? It's okay, because guess what? All $5 and $10 patrons... You guys are going to have to pick one, too.
Oh, it's going to be sexy. It's going to be beautiful. You're going to feel the love. You're going to feel the magic.
You'll feel the moving spirit of the great nature mother.
You're going to paint with all the colors of the wind.
Yes.
Whoa, TJ.
That is true.
It's pretty offensive, dude.
How's that offensive? It's a Disney movie.
Pocahontas, dude. You're going to call... You're start calling Paul Pocahontas?
The Seminole wind blows over the prairie.
Come on, man. Not cool, TJ.
Chief Shitting Paul over
you
there.
You have to respect Paul's...
Sitting Paul, ethnicity. TJ.
Oh, yeah, Shitting Paul. Right.
Sitting Paul.
Sitting Paul. Thank you, Scotty, for showing proper respect.
Shitting Paul. Because, I mean, that's... I say shitting.
I, for one, welcome Paul's new identity.
That's how I've always said shitting.
Paul discovered something new about himself.
I have a speech impediment.
Am I not allowed to celebrate my heritage in
TJ,
this great country?
Yeah, TJ, what's the big deal?
Is that banned now, too,
in
this
know.
Great wide land of America?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it is, Paul.
Why is it such an issue for you,
Sitting
TJ?
Paul.
Why can't you just accept Paul for the way he is?
If you could see...
Just the way he is. Because
you know
deal?
What? I don't think he's got any... I don't think he's got no Native American DNA.
How do you know?
I mean, I don't know for sure, but I just look at Paul. He's a pale-faced motherfucker.
Well, soon you will know, TJ, for I have sent off what the white man calls a DNA test kit. And I will have the proof soon.
Cool.
But I do not need it, TJ, for one does not need... The proof of blood.
You have the story.
Why does this remind me of Stevie so much? Okay.
Perhaps Stevie is a proud Cherokee as well.
He has family stories, TJ. He's been told this for generations. This is a generational
generations,
story.
Generations. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you haven't heard family stories from mom and stuff? You haven't heard people talk about this
stuff
in their family?
Yeah, sure,
so why can't Paul have the same courtesy?
I don't know.
Paul doesn't go and question every family story he's ever told.
Well, I never showed up dressed as a fucking Indian going, "Hoo!" And Paul's been doing this all day. Like, this has not just been for, like, the show. Like, as soon as Paul came, he's been talking like this.
Yeah, on the car ride over, he was like this.
He's fucking... I've never known him to be such a fucking, like, method acting piece of shit.
It's not acting, that's why.
All right.
This is no act, TJ. I've found comfort in the traditions and ways of
No, you haven't, dude. Yes. No, because it's not even your people.
The salty
even if you
ways
have some Indian,
done,
it's
TJ.
Like a it's like a one little bazillionth of your fucking DNA.
The salty ways are done, for I have reconnected with the earth spirit.
Oh, okay. Fucking piece of shit, dude. I hate you so much.
Paul has always had a strong environmental message, TJ, so I think you're wrong about that.
All right. So we're here today to look at one of Paul's fellow Native Americans.
Yes.
Chief Elizabeth Warren.
Yes.
Now, I've heard some people say that Elizabeth Warren is the perfect candidate to bridge the gap between the progressives and the corporate Democrats, since she seems to have kind of one foot planted in each camp. When she announced her candidacy a few days ago, there was a lot of backlash and scorn, mostly centered around her, as it turns out, probably kind of dubious claim of Native American ancestry. Or, you know, I guess it depends on how you look at it. It seems to me that instead of bringing people together, she's kind of a divisive figure, too tepid for the progressives that were invigorated by Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, too idealistic for the corporatists like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and too wishy-washy for the rest of us.
She's a lukewarm candidate.
Yeah, I
think her fundraising...
I thought of the Bible verse, you know, where God is like, let, you know, be hot or cold, for if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. I really do associate that with
her.
She
only raised, in the 24 hours since she announced her candidacy, about 299,000, or I think somewhere in the 200,000 range were Kamala Harris, another Democrat nominee, or someone hoping to be the Democrat nominee, raised $1.5 million. So,
right.
I mean, that who knows if that'll be sustained, but the fundraising efforts were definitely not as there as much. I mean, you can argue maybe that's more corporate interest, but I think those donations we're going to count as small donations.
I think that it's because the reservations, no pun intended, that I have about Elizabeth Warren.
Watch it, TJ.
I said no pun intended.
Watch it.
What's a better word for reservations?
Misgivings.
The misgivings I have about Warren. I don't even remember the sentence now. Anyway, what I'd like to look at in this episode... Oh, I was going to say that I think Americans in general have similar thoughts about her. Anyway, what I want to do in this episode is just look at whether or not Warren's various reputations are deserved. And I'd like to try to look at her with an open mind and really ask, is she a viable candidate to be president of the United States of America? Does she have what it takes to run on a consistent platform? What's that platform going to look like? Can she bridge the gap between the Bernie-crats and the Pelosi butt sniffers? Or is she, too, as Scotty said, lukewarm? I don't know. I kind of have an answer in my head to that, but let's look at the fucking reality. And
maybe we'll change our minds.
So before we get into it too much, I wanted to know if both of you guys could kind of offer your your impressions of Elizabeth Warren going into this. Like, what do you think of her as a candidate, as a person, as a politician, before going through the stuff in this episode? Just what, like, the initial thoughts are.
I mean, I think I... Sorry to drop the
kayfabe. No, I think you should for this.
Yeah. I think I identify with her mostly as somebody that capitulated to Hillary.
Right.
I mean, that to me is her most memorable achievement. Maybe she's got more. That's what I'm here tonight to learn, I suppose. But a capitulator and somebody that, you know, was kind of hounded by these claims of American Indian ancestry. She should have been like me and ordered that test, you know.
Yeah,
so she
the 23andMe.
End up with egg on her face.
Well, she did. I mean,
I'll have the proof soon, but I already have the story. You know, my mom's told me the story and stuff, so.
Yeah, so Scotty, what do you think?
I will say this. On the right, from the right perspective of Elizabeth Warren, a lot of people are salivating for her to actually win. They're like, yo, yes, please let it be her. So I think that on their side, they think they have a very good chance of her losing to a Trump.
Why do you think that why do you think the right kind of salivates for the prospect of a Warren candidacy?
Because they think because she's made so many contradictory statements about her past, and I think that they see that incongruency as an easy means of target. As far as, like, Trump has been very successful in calling her Pocahontas,
right? And it's clearly stuck with her.
I think a lot of her problems are self-made by being disingenuous. I think there's a strong streak of her being disingenuous that I think that really appeals to them, as, you know, as her winning the nomination.
Yeah.
Because Hillary had that going on for herself as well. Maybe not to the same extent, as Elizabeth Warren is more of a political neophyte.
I just honestly,
she doesn't have as much baggage as Hillary does.
But I think that the pale faces still to this day want to fight engines.
Okay.
You know, and so they sense that in her, and that, you know, their blood gets up and they're like, look, there's an indigenous person for me to trample upon.
I feel like she's always like one of these people. Like, we were talking about some YouTubers who are like this earlier. We'll get into names, but people who like kind of just jump from one identity to the other.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's, you never know where they're always looking for, like, a sense of, like, this is who I am. And with Elizabeth Warren, I think about the Indian thing and her trying to make that part of her identity for so long. And I think about how when AOC started doing those, like, I'm just hanging out in my kitchen drinking a beer, then all of a sudden Elizabeth Warren's doing the same thing. Like, I, too, am in my kitchen with beers to drink. And it's like, yeah, that's not you. Like, you know,
yeah,
that's her. It works for her because it seems authentic from her. But from you, that, you know, no one buys that.
I'm pretty sure AOC is drinking some beers now and again.
Well, she was a bartender, a year ago?
Right.
You know what I mean? So makes sense.
But Elizabeth Warren, yeah, I'm not really buying.
She's a stuffy professor type.
And plus,
know?
Our people have a sensitivity to alcohol, too. So she can't go crazy.
Yeah, you know, she takes one little whiff.
Yeah.
And she's drunk.
Drunk as a skunk. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on Elizabeth Warren's biography, but we are going to get into it a little bit because I think, you know, it matters to some extent.
It does, yes.
Like, when I look at a politician, my main thing is, like, what's their policies that they're willing to support, and do they have the character to actually successfully implement those policies?
Part of that character is the life story,
right,
too, right?
Exactly. So that's why it is somewhat important, I think, that a lot of times it's put front and center by politicians, like, I don't care about the inspiring story of this or that from your life.
Her,
but, you know.
Her family, because I went to her website, her presidential website, and a big thing that I saw pushed was kind of like how her family struggled.
Right.
Very mildly. And they were just like, I think the exact term was the ragged edge of the middle class. Like,
right.
They were just about to be impoverished and lose everything.
Yeah, well, she was born Elizabeth Herring on June 22nd, 1949, in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Right? Herring, yes, a fish that her people would have known well from the rivers around Oklahoma City.
Yes, she grew up in Norman, Oklahoma, where her father, and here's her parents, by the way, where her father was a maintenance man, basically a janitor. Her mother did catalog order work. So, yeah, this is not... this is not a prosperous American family. You know, they're making it, but they're, you know, they ain't getting rich.
They're basically poor.
They're getting by.
Yeah, they're getting by. They're surviving.
After her father suffered a heart attack, the family struggled economically, and Warren began waiting tables at age 13, which you'd never see today. At age 16, she earned a debate scholarship and attended George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Though she graduated from the University of Houston with a B.S. in speech pathology in 1970.
A B.S.?
Yes. A bullshit. After having married her high school sweetheart, mathematician Jim Warren, at age 19, she moved to Texas. They had two children, but divorced in 1978. After she worked...
Divorced!
Yeah. After she worked as a special education... She kept his name, though. Education
we're done.
Teacher. She earned a law degree from Rutgers University in Newark, New Jersey. She practiced law out of her living room and then embarked on a career as a law school professor that eventually took her to Harvard. Along the way, she became an expert on bankruptcy law. In 1980, Warren married Harvard legal scholar Bruce Mann. So that's just a brief little one-paragraph overview of the who's, where's, and why's.
Oh, well, I mean, look, let's
of
be
her
honest.
Life.
There's no way any of us in good conscience can vote for someone who got divorced.
Can you go back to that first picture of her real quick? Because I want to know what alt-righter wiped their ass on this picture.
Yeah, there's a,
who
there's
did
a big
it?
Shit stain there.
Step forward, you Pepe worshiping piece of shit. I want to know.
I do not know.
I do not know. So here she is, a picture of her, I think it's her wedding dress or something.
Not a bad-looking lady, huh?
No,
yeah,
No, she was, you know, she's pretty good. I mean, like,
that kind of classic beauty about her.
Paul's like, damn.
Considering that she's in her 70s now, she looks pretty good as well.
Yeah, I might want to pull up to that bumper even now.
I don't know about that.
Hey, man.
You what? You don't know?
I don't know.
All right, fair enough, TJ.
He doesn't know. He might. But
when I see
know.
A bumper that I want to pull up to, TJ, I know. I know the bumper that I want, and I'm telling you.
I mean, Paul even wanted to
there
pull up to
no
the Hillary
way
bumper.
That just the ravages of time have made this bumper right here, pictured here, any worse for the wear, TJ.
Well, you know what, Paul? Maybe
she didn't get married when she was like
maybe
16,
Paul,
did
if
she?
You ever become the emperor
I don't
of the
know.
Universe.
I hope not.
Dude,
if
Paul,
so, I take everything I just said back.
You're a terrible person. Dude, maybe if Paul, if you ever become the
along
emperor.
Along with the unfortunate epithet I used earlier.
If you ever become the emperor of the universe, maybe you can swing the fucking Warren-Hillary three-way.
That's true.
I mean, like, look, God Emperor Paul, you could be like a worm person. You'd be like, bring me Hillary Clinton and Elizabeth Warren.
Say what you want, man.
My sexual proclivity is hunger.
That'd be some crazy shit. You know it.
That would be crazy.
So she became an expert in bankruptcy law and in commercial law. All right. In 1995, she had, and she's probably a little older than this by the time I'm talking about her. In 1995, she had the responsibility. I actually have a 1995 picture, I think. This is kind of like, looks
yeah,
like 70s
like the
70s, or something.
Man.
So 1995, by 1995, oh, yeah. She's looking like this. She had the responsibility to advise the National Bankruptcy Review Commission. All right. In 2008, Harry Reid appointed her to chair the 5-member Congressional Oversight Panel overseeing the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act. Which, you know, the economy took a big old fucking shit in 2008.
Housing bubble.
And she was part of the oversight panel that's, you know, trying to, you know, figure out what to do with the ashes, basically.
God.
So she helped assess the bailout and the related programs of the government. Barack Obama in 2010, I guess, felt she did a good enough job with that he appointed her assistant to the president and special advisor to the Secretary of the Treasury for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Long title there.
Yeah.
And she actually was an advocate for its creation, so she advocated the creation of a position that she then, you know, filled. So I don't know what to think about that. In 2012...
Sounds like a politician.
Yep, she does. Everything about her life is just climb, climb, climb. She gets in the upper echelons,
and I mean, clearly she schmoozes Obama.
I mean,
or Obama sees that she can be a valuable person of the Democrat Party, clearly. So he had good judgment there, and I mean, that's clearly paid off. Because now, 7 years later, or 10 years later, she's running for president.
There's a lot in common between her and Hillary Clinton, other than just we're both women or whatever. They're both... If you look at their lives, it's all about they're always moving somehow up the ladder. The ladder of influence.
I guess the big difference is that Warren divorced kind of early on and Hillary stuck by her man no matter what.
Stand by your
but yeah,
man.
Yeah, they're both lawyers.
Yeah, well, she decided she didn't want... When she was young, she's like, I'll be with a mathematician because I like math. And then she's like, well, actually, if I want to I don't know if she's even thinking of being president at that time, but who knows? If she's like Hillary, I think the fire has probably been burning in her for quite a while. In 2012, she decided to run for Ted Kennedy's old Senate seat. She encountered virtually no opposition from within her own party. Got about 96% of the Democratic vote, so there was not even a primary.
So she was anointed, basically.
Right. She was basically, you are the chosen one. Go forth. She then beat out her Republican, the Republican incumbent, Scott Brown, who had taken Kennedy's old seat. She defeated him 53.7% to 46.2%. And that's kind of, I was kind of a little bit surprised that Elizabeth Warren became a senator only in 2012, which means that she's just, as of last year, entering her second term as a senator.
Yeah.
Look at Obama.
She don't feel like a freshman senator.
Well, now I don't feel like such a dunce for not knowing much of what she's been about, because she really hasn't been on the political scene at the national
at
level
a legislative
for that long, right?
Level,
at a legislative level.
Yeah. I mean, she's been a notable-ish figure since the mid-90s, but you know, obviously her public profile has increased tremendously since then. In 2018, she won re-election pretty handily against Republican Jeff Deal. She got 60.4% of the vote compared to his 36.2% of the
route
vote.
Right there.
So really no competition for that seat.
Liked amongst her constituents.
So the constituents, you know, a lot more voted for her this time than did last time. So, you know, she you know, a lot of constituents, a lot of bad politicians are popular in their districts and stuff. So I don't know. But, you know, but yeah, I mean, she does seem to have pleased her voting base.
I mean, I'll say in Massachusetts, she seems very popular. I don't think there's a sense of like she's misplaced there. Like, I think for the times, you know, the times we live
in, she definitely does feel like a Massachusetts liberal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I think she's right in the place there.
Yeah, and they like the cerebral liberals up there.
Well, they're a lot more educated. And that's the most educated part of America, so, and she has the right credentials for that.
Right. I thought that we'd take a look at, like, what has she actually accomplished in the Senate?
Okay.
Now, she's a freshman senator. Not anymore. Now she's a, whatever, sophomore senator or whatever the fuck they say. You know, for the vast majority of time she spent as a senator, she was a freshman senator. So, obviously when you're a freshman, you don't have a whole hell of a lot of accomplishments.
No.
Usually you're still kind of learning the job at that point. You know, a lot of people are in that job for 20, 30, 40 fucking years. She did. And she entered with the blessing of Obama upon her head, and she entered, she was basically coronated into the fucking Senate by the Democrat Party.
Important seat too,
right?
Oh, definitely.
Kennedy's old seat,
an extremely important seat,
and she took it from a Republican, no less,
right? And she was obviously super, super fucking anointed by the Democrats.
You're literally in my mind showing, I mean, the one person on this screen here, obviously Obama. Whoever gets the fucking, whoever wants the nomination, they want his blessing more than anybody. I mean, look, the Obama's basically, Trump is, it's the weirdest thing because the Obama's basically still get the rock star treatment. And Trump kind of is just like, no one wants to go to the White House. No one gives a shit about you. Like, the Obamas are still treated like he's the president. So, like, his endorsement, whoever he endorses in this thing, and he'll be pragmatic because he's a very pragmatic, intelligent guy.
Oh, he's going to wait. He's going to wait until the primary process
is
over and just nominate
that's
the winner.
But that's who's going to get that. But, I mean, all these people are going to be vying for it. And, I mean, so this is going to be a really interesting race as far as 2020, just from the Democrat side. The Republican side, probably not so much unless Trump is impeached or resigns.
I mean, that might be her Trump card.
So but she has a strong connection
to
him.
They've already got this predefined relationship. He already clearly feels strongly about her. What if he's already told her, like, Elizabeth, if you run, I'll back you.
If she does get his endorsement, that's a huge endorsement.
I seriously doubt that Obama is going to put his eggs in a basket.
If he did it that early, that would be unprecedented.
I mean,
but
it would be totally unprecedented.
But it would give her a fun
ride. Oh, she would have a huge boost from that for sure.
Yeah, why wouldn't Obama want to use that power, though?
Because if he uses it and then she doesn't get that huge boost, then he can never use it again. Then he loses a bunch of power.
Right.
Then it's like, oh, Obama's not as influential as we thought. So he doesn't want to not appear influential. So that's probably why he won't endorse anyone until
later
it looks
in
like
the
they're
process.
Safely going to get the nomination.
Like Hillary, basically. Oh, Hillary's winning? Okay.
Anyway, so the first thing I wanted to take a look at for Elizabeth Warren was something called the 21st Century Cures Act.
Hmm.
It's not a bill I'd heard of prior to doing research for this episode. It passed into law in 2016. It was a very popular bill that was passed with a vote of 94-5 in the Senate. The reason the bill caught my attention is because Elizabeth Warren is one of the five senators who voted no on the bill. Bernie Sanders was one of the other five, by the way. So the bill is long and complicated. I tried to read some of it. It's just huge. It covers so much. But its basic goals, stated goals, are to accelerate drug development and bring cutting-edge treatment to patients, revise the current status of mental health research and treatment for disorders, with a strong focus on the current opioid crisis sweeping the nation. The law is also of significant importance to biomedical scientists, as it will expand funding for certain fields, keeping in line with the Precision Medicine Initiative launched in 2015. Okay?
Okay.
So basically, it's a, you know, we're going to bring medicine into the 21st century. We're going to start.
Let's cut some of the red tape.
We're going to, well, you know, and we're going to put money into research and development, and we're going to get new drugs out there and develop new treatments and bring medicine to the next level.
But also kind of a gift to the pharmaceutical industry when you look at it.
Yeah, well, that actually ended up being the reason why Elizabeth Warren opposed the bill. She ended up saying, "I cannot vote for this bill. I will fight it because I know the difference between compromise and extortion." She added that the bill had been hijacked by the pharmaceutical industry, and I actually went ahead and did a little cut. She made a 12-minute speech about this stuff. I cut it down to about 5 minutes, just so you could get the basic gist of her disagreement.
Okay.
Because I think it's kind of fascinating seeing her stand up against pretty much not only all of her colleagues, but basically her constituency who all supported this bill.
But there is one thing that Americans are not divided on. One issue that they sent a message loud and clear. According to exit polls, 70% of voters said they think that the American economy and the lawmakers who oversee it are owned by big companies and special interests.
I want to know what the fuck the other 30% think.
Right?
Are we talking about some local politicians or Bernie Sanders or a few other not corrupt politicians? Because about 99% of these motherfuckers are bought and paid for.
Well, she said 70% of the populace thinks that politicians are bought and paid for. It's like, well, no shit they are. Like, who? Who's this 30% just like, no, I don't think so.
Nah.
Nah.
Most major politicians that are leaders of their party receive primarily most of their funding from super PACs and businesses.
Yes.
It's obvious. So what she's saying is 100% correct. The 70% thing, like, I agree with you. It should be 99%. The 1% should just be like, they
retards.
Have no idea. Yeah. Drooling retards.
That's 70% of everybody, Republicans, Democrats, independents. In the closing days of this Congress, Big Pharma has its handout for a bunch of special giveaways and favors that are
sounds
packed
right
together in something called the 21st Century Cures Bill. It is on track to get a vote in the House this week and then get rammed through the Senate. And I've been taking a look at the details here. And when the American voters say that Congress is owned by big companies, this bill is exactly what they're talking about. So now we face a choice. Will this Congress say, yes, we're bought and paid for, or
yep,
will we stand up and work for the American people? This final
94-5, by the way. Just reminding you.
Wow.
94-5.
Will the Congress of the United States stand up and say we're going to work for the American people? Why would they? They're a bunch of dupes. A bunch of fucking simpletons with no money. Why are they going to work for those dumbasses? They work for the wealthiest 1%. It's obvious.
Deal has only a tiny fig leaf of funding for NIH and for the opioid crisis. And most of that fig
all
leaf
lies
isn't even real. Most of the money won't be there unless future Congresses pass future bills in future years to fund those dollars. Because this funding is political cover for huge giveaways to giant drug companies. There are more examples than I can count in this bill, but I'm going to talk about three. First giveaway, legalize fraud. You know, it is...
I'm for it.
Yeah, you know, we're scammers. Let's go ahead. You know what? Fuck this bitch. Legalize fraud. All right, I'm on board. Never
RV
mind.
Trip to the moon.
Donate now.
RV trip to Mars.
Donate now.
GoFundMe in the description.
Used to market drugs for uses not approved by the FDA. Now, some drug companies find this rule annoying. After all, they could make a lot more money selling a headache pill as a cure for everything from hair loss to cancer. But pushing treatments without scientific evidence that can work is fraud. Fraud that can
The power
hurt
was too
people.
Much.
Yeah, snake oil.
Second giveaway, cover up bribery. Right now, the law requires drug companies to disclose the buckets of money that they shower on doctors and hospitals to encourage them to prescribe certain drugs. It is, by the way, all published on a government website. You can go look up your doctor and your hospital right now online if you want to do that. Now, the drug companies
I don't even any more depressed, thanks.
By ending kickbacks to doctors. But instead, they've chosen Plan B again. Cozy up to enough people in Congress to pass this cures bill that would let drug companies keep secret any splashy junkets or gifts.
Yeah, so I don't think you could check that on the government website anymore because this bill did pass. So good luck. Good luck finding out what kind of kickbacks your doctor's been taking from the drug industry.
I always love like the Anti-Corruption Act of 2019, which is basically like the Don't Fucking Reveal Our Corruption Act of 2019.
Well, do you deny, TJ, that she was on the right side of this issue?
No, I don't.
Associated with so-called
That's what I thought.
Education and make it harder for enforcement agencies to be able to trace those bribes. Third giveaway, hand out dangerous special deals to Republican campaign contributors. According to news reports, a major Republican donor stands to benefit financially from selling cellular and regenerative medical therapies. If this guy had his way, he'd be able to sell them to desperate people without a final FDA determination that those therapies were either safe or effective.
No.
Of course, that would be against the law right now.
Not no mo.
So this mega donor has poured millions of dollars into Mitch McConnell's personal campaign coffers and into his Republican super PAC, and now he wants his reward. The Cures Act offers to sell government favors. It delivers a special deal so that people can sell these treatments without meeting the FDA gold standards for protecting patient safety and making sure that these drugs actually do some good.
94-5. Just saying.
Well, from everything I heard, I mean, obviously this is her narrative, but knowing what I know about Congress, knowing I know about how much money Big Pharma's been lobbying.
The shoe fits.
The shoe fits. The glove definitely fits. This sounds exactly what they would do, which is like, oh, shit, we want to do something that's illegal now. Oh, I know. We'll just call our buddies down in Congress and make it have it be made legal. So then it's legal for us to fucking commit fraud and extortion or whatever the fuck else we want to do.
She's one of only five representatives that...
Yes.
Wow.
She's there was five senators that voted against this piece of legislation.
Well, wow. I give her credit because, I mean, I think she was on the right side of this one.
She truly is
the chosen one.
But not everything in the bill is bad. Republican leaders are playing a crafty game here, trying to buy off Democratic votes one by one by tacking on good bipartisan proposals that senators in both parties have worked on in good faith for years. There's a bipartisan mental health bill, bipartisan provisions protecting the genetic privacy of patients, bipartisan provisions to give some very limited funding for important priorities like the national opioid crisis and the vice president's cancer moonshot. There's a proposal in here to improve foster care. I support most of these proposals. I've worked on many of them for years. I even wrote some of them myself. If this bill becomes law, there is no question it will contain some real legislative accomplishments. But I cannot vote for this bill. I will fight it because I know the difference between compromise and extortion.
Go ahead, Paul.
Paul's like,
yes. Yes, that's right. Cheer to the Great Spirit, for she's truly on the right side of history. The pale faces all shiver at her countenance.
So yeah, the reason I wanted to include that last part is because it's important, I think, to note that it's not all about money. That's a big, obviously, that's the main big driving factor, but it's also about, hey, you know that legislation you've been working on? The only way you're going to get passed is if you give us a little something-something.
Right, and it's
and
bullshit.
It's always something evil. And it's always something that's totally not good for anybody in America except for the super rich.
Why don't we need these huge combination bills? Like, why can't these things be voted on in a sensible fashion, which is like, your proposal goes up and you vote on it? It's like, nope, it's packaged in this huge bill, which has all these priorities for these senators who know there's, like you said, there's no other chance of passing these pet projects becoming law. So they have to fucking compromise. It's like, either I compromise and if it gets made into law, then I can go back to my constituent and say, look, I got funding for this new hospital in the area. They're going to build a fucking $2 billion hospital because of what I've done.
It reminds me of
the
classic example of like the port security bill that also banned online poker, you know?
Right.
It's like, why the fuck are those two things even vaguely related to one another?
Because it's the bargaining process between the
two
parties.
It's how these two parties, quote-unquote, compromise.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she's right. It's not compromise. It's fucking extortion. It's basically just like, yeah, you scratch our back, we'll scratch the billionaire's back.
Right.
You know, it's like, fuck you.
And you don't end up with a beautiful compromise. You end up with a watered-down mishmash of corporate donations, just outright fucking gifts to corporations, and then half-assed versions of some of the things you care about.
Yes.
All thrown together into one mediocre Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
Yeah. Exactly. So, like, in essence, the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, so let's take a look at... you might be wondering, like, what did she actually get passed? You know?
What has she done?
There's an example of her standing up against something.
And yeah, what's she for?
Yeah, but, you know, it's one thing to be against it. What did she actually do? Not even just what she's taken a position for, but what did she sponsor? Did she get any laws passed?
Yeah, okay. Is there a Warren slash somebody else bill?
There is. It's not a very... Maybe I don't understand it, but to me, it's not a very impressive piece of legislation. In fact, I know I don't understand it.
Okay.
It's called the Smart Savings Act. It's the only thing that she's ever passed that was sponsored by her, which is pretty standard, honestly, for a freshman senator to have only one piece of legislation. It's very hard.
Probably not all that. Is it rare for them to actually get a freshman senator to get something passed, though?
No, it's not. Usually they manage about one.
They get a small piece of something.
Right. And
what was hers?
Hers was called the Smart Savings Act. During her tenure in office, she's managed to pass just one bill of any significance through the Senate, the Smart Savings Act, which altered retirement accounts for federal workers to give them more returns on their investments. A companion bill authored by Rep. Daryl Issa, who's a California Republican, passed the House and became law. Okay, so basically she wrote the companion bill to this Republican's bill that I don't know what it does.
I mean, it just sounds like it just gives
federal
workers better returns.
I'm going to read the description, and Scotty, I think you have the best chance of understanding this. So if you don't get it, then I don't know who I'm going to have. We need a higher caliber of analyst. The Smart Savings Act would make the default investment in the Thrift Savings Plan, TSP, an age-appropriate target date asset allocation investment fund.
Okay, so they have these target funds, like you can say like 2050, 2070, whatever.
Right.
So it's probably just giving consumers more choices with the like investment in index funds, which are basically just funds that track like markets or ETFs or things like that. Like it basically, you know, when you buy, like there's different ways to invest money. Like they have these Vanguard funds you can do. And some of these funds, which, like I said, they're very broad. They track like maybe tech stocks, or there's like a it tracks maybe like a few classes of stock, in a sense.
Okay.
Of securities. What you see what I'm saying? So it's like maybe maybe part of it's like a real estate holdings. Maybe part of it's like large corporations, maybe some of her bonds.
So what she did is she made it to where the thrift savings plan, which I guess is like a government worker thing, became an age appropriate target date asset allocation investment fund instead of a government securities investment fund. Okay?
All right.
So if no election has been made for the investment of available funds.
So basically what it is federal employees have a choice.
Just explain it to me. Explain it to me like you're explaining it to like a drooling retard.
And I don't present myself like I'm some sort of expert on this. I can definitely make mistakes.
I think you know more than I do. So
what they're saying is if a federal employee like your 401k or whatever.
Right.
Basically your retirement fund. So instead of if you choose something like these are if you get hired on a company and you have a benefits package, okay, this is your savings plan or whatever, or this is your retirement fund.
Okay.
What you do is you have different choices, and like this is the expense ratio, how much it's going to cost you, and these are the fees you can pay. So some people are just like, I don't care, whatever. So what they're talking about is they change the default fund that people get put into.
Okay.
Is what it sounds like to me.
So I'm not going to lie. I still don't understand it, but the above paragraph is gobbledygook, but to me,
okay. Well,
Let me ask you this: does it strike you as a landmark piece of legislation? Does it sound
not really?
I mean, now knowing that it's kind of customary to give the freshman a little bone, that it just sounds like a very, very subtle change to the way that federal retirement plans work.
I mean, maybe people are paying more fees and now they're going to pay less fees. I mean, probably a net positive.
I hope she did something. I hope she did something good for him. Whatever. But so anyway, I've read that her real power in the Senate, and it seems contradictory at first, but I guess it makes sense.
Where's the beard, Ted?
In the world of Washington, D.C.
God, he needs that beard.
Yeah, he does.
She'd look pretty good with one, too.
Yeah.
Beards
all around.
All beards. So this is, I abridged this from The Atlantic, because it's said that her true power may not be so much in legislation, but just in terms of her influence. You would think influence would naturally kind of lead to legislation, but I guess not necessarily. So during the federal funding crisis at the end of last year, I don't know what year this was written, so sorry about that. I probably should have included that. Warren organized a near coup of left-leaning Democrats to kill the so-called CR omnibus, or maybe it's pronounced cromnibus, I don't know, over its proposed changes to the Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform law that surprised even many rank-and-file Democrat members. The uprising ultimately failed, but the fight says a lot about how Warren sees herself in the Senate. The fact that Warren was joined by 20 Senate Democrats and independent Bernie Sanders in voting against a government funding bill crafted under her own party's majority was a warning sign to leaders of both parties against targeting Dodd-Frank again in the future.
Oh.
So basically it was like, hey, I can actually get people on my side, so don't fucking,
Well, she's definitely. I mean, that
you might not want to cross me. I can have people do what I want.
She's an adept political maneuver. That's clear. I mean, to get 20 people where it's like, and like you said, it was her party, Democrat Party, that is drafting this legislation, and having that much of a defection is pretty serious.
Right. Fuck that. What dirt does she have on them? That's what I want to know. How's this freshman senator have all these longtime senators bowing to her, huh? She know about the Bilderberg group, huh? She know about the vampire parties that go on in the basement of the Bilderberg building, huh? She know about sucking the literal blood and life out of children at the Bilderberg parties, huh?
I'm not sure.
What she got on them?
She probably does. Unlike some other firebrand senators who people like Ted Cruz here, who she's often compared to, I guess.
Strangely, but yeah.
Well, just in terms of... I guess their opinionatedness or something.
Was she into teen titty films at the same time he was?
I believe she was.
Can we bridge this gap?
Hey, you know what? They're very close geographically. I mean, like Ted Cruz from Texas or Cuba.
He looks like he might have a little bit of a in him, you know?
Well, he was from Cuba.
Yes.
Hey!
Whoa, dude.
The spirits, they approve of this union.
Dude, I see a political marriage coming, dude.
Anyway, so dudes like Cruz can kind of hold the political process hostage if they, you know, want something done. Kind of like the Trump tactic of, you know, I'm going to shut down the government until I get my wall or something. Like,
what does Ted Cruz do? Like, just promise to, like, visit them every night if they don't vote the way he wants?
There's,
I'm like,
gonna simper and
I'll
stand
come
your
to
shoulder.
Your door every night.
There's, like, legislative things he can do to hold it up. You know, just ways to delay the process. Not necessarily filibustering, because that's kind of
procedural
bullshit. Passive. But yeah, he can do little things procedurally to block things.
Sir, I move to invoke the bullshit legislation of 1722. From the Magna Carta that states that any weasel may interrupt any political party's process for any particular reason that they want.
Right. So,
and I have a weasel here.
Elizabeth Warren doesn't really do that. So she, it probably lost her that whole Dodd-Frank battle.
Is this another example of, like, liberals just not having a pair of balls? And
maybe.
I don't even mean that, you know, literally. I mean the figurative balls that you need.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you got a point there. The way the article tries to spin it, and I'll let you tell me if you buy it, is that, you know, she not only has she not done that I'm going to hold up the process if you don't vote my way thing, instead taking the approach of more like, I'll tell you my opinion, but then you vote whatever you want. She's also done fundraising for tons of candidates. Both corporate ones, progressive ones, any you know, all over the fucking map in terms of who she'll fundraise for. She's
like,
not picky. So that has helped Warren to continue. This is once again quoting The Atlantic. That has helped Warren to continue to hold outsized sway over the conversation among Democratic policymakers in Washington, particularly for a freshman. Democrats in Congress were talking about cutting Social Security in 2012, and Warren got 42 of 44 Democrats to vote yes on expanding Social Security benefits instead. Adam Green, co-founder of the Progressive Campaign Change Committee, said in a statement.
You know what it's like? It's like with Bernie. He's an outsider, so they're not going to listen to him. He's not really involved with them. I mean, like, he caucuses with them, but obviously he's not super important to them.
He doesn't hold
but
a tremendous
sway.
But
she's a Democrat, and really, she's about as far left as the Democrats really go, as far as the corporate Democrats, where it's like, this is palatable to us. So it's like, she's like the canary in the coal mine. So when she starts getting all riled up, they're like, oh, wait. You have to remember, the Democratic Party still has to appeal to these progressives in their party as well.
They would strongly appeal to the progressives in their party if they fucking started throwing a monkey wrench in the works and stopping the machine and fucking getting their way and shit.
Well, it's,
I mean, like, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
You can bitch and moan about whether it's right or wrong or whether it makes them look bad or not, but at the end of the day, when Ted Cruz throws the monkey wrench in the shit, he wins. His party wins. And the liberals have to go, okay, all right, they back off. They capitulate.
That's why I told you about Kavanaugh.
And I don't even vote, but what I want to see from a fucking liberal is somebody that's willing to do that shit.
Yeah.
Because now politics has come to that level, and we need people with that type of mindset to start being dirty. That's what I want. Start playing dirty. Start using the stupid procedural rules that these Republicans have no problem using, and fucking do it unabashedly. Stop them.
Well, with the Senate, the Republicans control the Senate.
Let's take
too,
a look at a... I'm sorry, you go ahead.
Well, like me and you talked about, like, when Kavanaugh was coming up, I'm like, oh, they're going to vote for him. He's going to get it. And the funny thing is like, they don't give a shit. That's why I told you, like, the Republicans will go and stand in front of a bunch of people, and they'll do the scummiest shit in the earth, but they're like, you know what, let's have a vote. And they'll usually win it, because if they have the numbers, they'll fucking pass it, because they know how people's attention spans work.
Well, Paul used a term when we were talking a little bit about this episode outside called glad-handing,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which seems to be her political strategy, is to try to kind of, even if you're opposing someone, kind of try to stay on their good side. Don't really make too many enemies that you don't have to make. She seems like she's very deferential. She seems like she's very concerned with image. She's a politician.
Right.
I mean, there's no mistaking it. This is not... She is a policy wonk. There's no denying that she has an understanding of policy and that cares about policy. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of social climbing and political, you know, theater and political, you know, that's in her. And if you don't see that in her, then you're not looking.
Yeah.
It's definitely there.
She take pharmaceutical money?
I don't know if she's taking pharmaceutical money.
I looked. I don't know if you pulled it, but when I looked at her, the main contributors, her re-election campaign, everything else that I saw in her presidential campaign, I didn't see anything from Big Pharma.
Yeah. Do you want? So you want to? I mean, making speeches like this, Big Pharma's not giving her money.
Yeah, I didn't see
like the
like
one
that
we watched earlier. They're not giving
her top donors were like
they're not paying for that.
Women, I mean, like I don't women know, count super PAC. There's another one was Harvard University. So
I think to a certain extent, liberals, especially the corporate liberals, have relied on the fact that these corporations care what you do, not what you say.
Right.
Like, I think it's been long known between these
corporations.
She voted
against them as well.
Hey, I've got to say
something. Not that it mattered.
Right, right. I understand that. But I'm just saying that, like.
Well, here, if you want to sink your teeth into something kind of shitty, or more than kind of shitty, really, that she did, at least from my vantage point, maybe you'll feel differently.
Well. Well, this is interesting because if you actually go to her website, her presidential committee website or whatever the fuck it is, she's actually talking about how our military budget is bloated and she wants to cut it.
Right. She voted against the most recent Trump military budget increase. But on September 18th, 2017, Warren voted for a bill that authorized $700 billion in defense funds. This included $640 billion for the Pentagon and an additional $60 billion for military operations in countries such as Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan.
Jesus.
This bill increased military spending by $80 billion, which far surpassed the increase requested by
Trump
President Trump. So he only asked for 54, and she's like, no, fuck that, take 80. She did. There was another military spending thing since then that she voted against. I don't know why she decided this one was good, but then the next one's bad. Anyway, there were 8 no votes against 89 yes votes, of course. No one wants to vote against the troops, even though this barely has anything to do with them.
Almost nothing at all.
And 3 abstentions, but Warren was not one of the abstentions. She was not one of the no's. She was one of the yeses.
Yeah, I don't know why it doesn't say she voted yes.
Yeah, this is this seems like it was written by someone who was kind of attacking her, but whatever. I don't care. Yeah, it's a really, really bizarre vote that's very difficult to explain if you're making the case to me, Elizabeth Warren is this, you know, progressive firebrand. It's like, how do you explain this then? Like, where did this come from? What's right. the justification for raising the military budget by $80 billion a year?
I'm not really sure you can justify it.
Yeah, like, I don't see how you could.
Just seems like she's a fair weather voter. That, you know, while the liberals are in power, vote for all the spending increases. But, you know, when it's
well, this was under right, Trump. I mean, right. This is the first year under Trump.
Right. But now it's way more politically expedient for her to be anti-Trump. Right.
So, well, she's
running against him.
Ostensibly, right. She's running against him. I mean,
well, she's
going
to try anyway.
Well, if Trump is going to be there, obviously there's some circles of thought where Trump won't even be a factor. But
well, I think Trump is more likely to be there than she is, maybe.
I have to agree with you on that.
Because she's got a lot of competition. But,
I mean, you have a bet with me, so I guess you're probably hoping it's not the case.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely hoping Trump gets kicked out of office. So here's... I wanted to show you guys... I wanted to, since we're talking about the negative sides of Elizabeth Warren, I did prepare a little video presentation. This is a little piece. This is my main criticism of Elizabeth Warren. It's all summed up in this 3-minute video. And I'm just going to kind of mute us for a second and just play this because
okay.
I think it's something I, whatever, you guys don't give a shit.
We won't be muted.
I had written an op-ed about a piece of pending bankruptcy legislation. The credit card companies have been pushing to try to tighten the bankruptcy laws, sort of like locking the doors to the hospitals and then claiming nobody's sick in America. So they were trying to get the bankruptcy laws constricted so that fewer families could get in. Why? Because you can make more money if those families don't go into bankruptcy if you're a credit lender. Mrs. Clinton saw the piece. And I got a call from the White House, and they said Mrs. Clinton was going to be in town to give a speech in Boston, and would I come and meet with her? I said, sure. And so I put together all my files. I show up at the appointed place. After she's finished her speech, we're ushered into a tiny little room somewhere in the bowels of this hotel.
and just the two of us. They close the door. Mrs. Clinton sits down. We have hamburgers and French fries.
And you tutor her.
And she says, tell me about bankruptcy. And I got to tell you, I never had a smarter student. Quick, right to the heart of it. I go over the law. It's a complex law. Went over the economics, showed her the graphs, showed her the charts, and she got it. Within 20 minutes, she could play where the rest of it would come. Well, then that will mean this part's happened. That will mean this has happened. I said, yes, that's right. And at the end of the conversation, Mrs. Clinton stood up. She said, let's get our picture taken, which we did. And she said, Professor Warren, we've got to stop that awful bill, referring to this bankruptcy bill that's sponsored by the credit card companies. The last bill that came before President Clinton was that bankruptcy bill that was passed by the House and the Senate in 2000, and he vetoed it. And in her autobiography, Mrs. Clinton took credit for that veto, and she rightly should. She turned around a whole administration on the subject of bankruptcy. She
and
got
then,
it.
And then?
One of the first bills that came up after she was Senator Clinton was the bankruptcy bill. This is a bill that's like a vampire. It will not die, right? There's a lot of money behind it. And
the bill
just,
her husband had vetoed.
Her husband had vetoed it very much at her urging.
And?
She voted in favor of it. You know, a lot of people don't realize that the industry that gave the most money to Washington over the past few years was not the oil industry, was not pharmaceuticals. It was consumer credit products. Those are the people the credit card companies have been giving money, and they have influence.
And Mrs. Clinton was one of them, a senator.
Yeah. She has taken money from the groups, and more to the point, she worries about them as a constituency.
Now, I'm here today because I'm with her. Yes, her.
Fuck you!
Fuck you!
Thank you for indulging me on that.
Wow.
I like the ending.
I felt like that to me, that says it all for me.
I'm with her! Tepid clap.
Because, I mean, that story that she tells
is damning.
It's so powerful.
Yeah.
And then just to realize, like, that very same corruption that she talks about Hillary Clinton falling under the spell of.
Yep.
She's clearly under it at this point.
I'm with her.
I'm with her. I love Hillary.
I mean, isn't always the case, though, that, and you always see this a lot of times, especially with politics, where it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe Elizabeth Warren believes Hillary's a really bad person, but we have Donald Trump. And if we get Donald Trump, oh my God. Mm.
I mean, it could be.
At all costs, we have to support Hillary.
It could be that Elizabeth sensed a goodness in Hillary, yes, that had developed since that bill.
Oh, yeah.
The bill.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Real interesting. Looks like. I'm sorry. I mean, Sitting Paul.
Thank you, TJ.
Sitting Paul.
Is it Chief Sitting Paul? Is it?
No, I will not claim to be a chief.
Wow.
I'm just a mere huntsman of my tribe.
Oh, wow. Your tribe, huh?
Yes.
What tribe was that again? Cherokee?
Cherokee tribe, yes.
Oh, that's.
Back to Princess Abigail Lucinda Rainwater.
That's real weird because your DNA results just came in and, European 100%.
Wow. Spanish, Portuguese, 1%. Scandinavian, 4.3%.
Hold on.
French and German,
18.9%. Was there any? Was it European Cherokee?
British and Irish, 57.2%. Where's the? So I see the Irish. I see the Irish right there, Paul.
Yeah, I see broadly European, broadly Southern European, broadly Northwestern European, Spanish and Portuguese, Scandinavian, French and German, British and
Irish.
That's
where it is, right there. The Spanish, the Portuguese. Yes, yes.
So there was some Cherokee mixed in with the Spanish and Portuguese. Is that what you're saying? Paul, you are white as a sheet of fucking paper, and you need to fucking stop appropriating Cherokee culture right the fuck now. There's no Abigail Lucinda Rainwater, and if there was, it was just your fucking great-great-uncle's jerk-off fantasy or some shit.
God damn it.
You pull the Cartman, dude. You fucking literally pull the fucking Cartman.
Shit. Well, I've got egg on my face now.
Yes,
maybe indeed. Just paint.
I should never have claimed to be an American Indian at all, guys.
Maybe, like without knowing for sure.
I wish I could
turn back time.
Wish I could turn back time.
Actually, it's now is what you're doing is now a cultural appropriation.
No,
go wash your face.
No, it isn't.
Paul.
I am.
Go wash your face.
I'm
young
a Kansas
man.
City fan.
Go. That's still appropriation.
I'm
Paul.
A Kansas City fan.
I'm a Washington Redskins fan.
That's
so.
That's disgusting. TJ, you go wash your mouth out with soap for saying that, and Paul will go wash your
I'm
face off.
I'm a Kansas
off.
City fan, not the football team.
Go
they
wash
suck.
Your
the,
face, Paul.
It's just the hockey team.
I don't want to hear it, Paul. Wash your face.
The Kansas City All Mud right. Ducks.
So since we're talking about this, we might as well take a look at...
Duck, go Ducks.
Here's the deal with Elizabeth Warren's Native American... Now, this is from fake news.
Look.
So,
oh,
look,
yeah.
Just, you know, take it with a grain of salt. So this is all about the Indian controversy shit. So before and after his election, President Donald Trump has sneeringly referred... We know what he's done. He's
Pocahontas.
Called her Pocahontas a bunch of times. So she took a DNA test, as we all know, recently, which why? Why did you do that? And it basically said, you know, maybe you had some Indian, like,
well, you know
six
why.
To 10 generations ago.
Well, Trump came out and said, I'll give you $1 million to your whatever charity you want.
Right.
If you take the test.
Yeah,
and
so basically she got baited by Trump into doing something stupid.
6 to 10 generations ago.
That she still hasn't lived
I
down.
Mean, so she had a very... I mean, this goes pretty far back.
I mean, she's born in the fucking... In 1949, so we're talking, like, what, 200 or 300 years ago by
yeah,
that point?
Yeah, something like that.
Some crazy amount of time
well,
ago.
What it is that the... Well, you see, the results strongly support the existence of an unmixed... Native American ancestor. So it means like that there's a strong possibility that that's true. But then she got fucking, fucking eviscerated
oh,
by
yes.
the Cherokee Nation because obviously she's not on like, was it like the Dawes rolls or whatever?
Yeah.
Her family's not there. And obviously to them it's more of a cultural thing too.
Right. There's no genetic test that can prove you're a member of
yeah,
the Cherokee
that's basically,
Nation.
Right.
That's
so they're like,
said.
There is, yeah. So, okay. Right.
So she pissed them off.
She pissed everybody off.
She basically pissed everyone off with this shit.
So here's the question. This is CNN, of course, which has, you know, certain biases, so take that into account,
fake
I
news.
Guess.
What?
But
no.
What? Yeah. So did it play a role in her career is the question. According to them, nah. Harvard Law School in the 1990s touted Warren, then a professor in Cambridge, as being Native American. They singled her out. Warren later acknowledged because she had listed herself as a minority in... an Association of American Law Schools directory. Critics note that she had not done that in her student applications and during her time as a teacher at the University of Texas.
Well, what's interesting, if you look here, this is from the Washington Post, the Post obtained Warren's registration card for the state of Texas, State Bar of Texas, providing a previously undisclosed example of Warren identifying as American Indian. And on the application, under... race, she lists American Indian. This is from 1986. So, I mean,
and what is that on?
That is on the Washington Post. But
no. But, I mean, what is it? What is it? What, where did she identify as
on her
registration?
Her state bar of Texas, basically the Texas bar.
Is there any kind of deference given?
I'm not sure, but she is at least purporting to be an American Indian.
There. Right. Interesting.
Which we know now. I mean, she has some claims of that ancestry, but that
very,
I mean, those
very muted, very watered down.
I mean, if you look at how her family lived, it looks like she just lived a normal American life.
Right. Like she may have, you know, a distant ancestor that had some of that in her, but to claim that she lived that way.
Yeah. Or had a large impact on her life is, I think, disingenuous.
Wow. That's beautiful.
And a lot of people say, well, like, look, even if this is true, even, I mean, does that really matter that much? Is it really informing us about Liz? But it informs about her character.
Spreading
that,
bull?
Yep. Spreading bull.
When you're willing to lie. And see, that's why I said this is a problem of her own making. If she just didn't fucking go with this line of bullshit, it wouldn't even be an issue today.
Yeah, either don't go with the line of bullshit or never take that fucking DNA test and just be like, nope, I'm an Indian, fuck you.
Yeah, like, that was somehow, like, even if it shows, like, she was 25%.
Dude.
Native American or whatever, or that ancestry, that doesn't put this to bed. And I don't think she should have realized
right.
that she was so easily baited by Trump into making a terrible decision. I mean, and instead of getting support of these groups that she was hoping to get the support of, that actually totally backfired on her. I mean, so her judgment has to be really called into question.
Yeah. I mean, I got to be honest with you, though. I was in a similar situation. I was reading that CNN article, and it said that she was like, you know, these are my family stories or whatever. You know, that test, I was in a similar situation.
Right. The Abigail Lucinda Rainwater thing is not...
It's actually true.
That's not something you made up for the show.
No,
that was
actually
a real
story.
Family story.
Yeah. Kayfabe aside, that's a story I was actually told, and I believed, you know, to a reasonable degree.
You believed based on basically faith. That's almost like a faith claim. So it's the same thing for, like, religion. I mean, the standard of evidence is so low there that instead of saying, that's a nice family story, does that inform how I should go live
when
my
Elizabeth,
life?
No. When Elizabeth Warren is born in 1949 or something, or 48 or whatever year she was born, I think it was 49, I'm just going to check and make sure on that. But anyway, when she was born, there was no DNA tests and shit. People weren't looking that shit up. Right. So, I mean, like, I'm not saying, that, oh, it's a fertile environment to lie. I'm saying that if you hear that family story and you're like, wow, we got Indian blood and that's something you identify with, you can just get carried away with that shit and be like, yeah, we're Indian.
There must have been because my mom, you know, thought that there was Indian, possibly some black in my family tree somewhere. There were family stories about that. None of that is true. I mean, genetically disproven now, but, you know, I don't know what it is, but
Cousin Earl was mighty tan.
Like, you know, conversationally, have probably told people, yeah, like, you know, I hear through my mom that we might have some American Indian or something, but I never marked down Indian on any application. Like, that's different.
Yes.
Dude, before you move on, TJ, can you bring that Lando Fakes thing up one more time?
Yes, I can.
Did you guys ever do the Lando Lakes titty trick?
No.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to give you guys the best trick. Here's what you do. You get a Lando Lakes butter, right?
Uh-huh.
You cut out the knees.
Okay.
Right? And that's separate. And then you make a trap door out of the butter box. You just cut along three sides of it. You put the knees behind it. You lift up that butter box, you get to see some titties, my friend. TITTIES, titties for free.
That is some desperate. That's some desperate shit,
dude,
right there,
dude. We used to do this all the time.
Dude, Paul, didn't they have like lingerie catalogs ever sent to your house or anything, dude?
The Macy's catalog would have like some underwear pictures, but this wasn't for porn. This was something we did for fun. Like, you know, we'd bring it to school because you could walk around with a Lando Lakes box and ain't nobody gonna be the wiser, you know. They didn't know it was a special titified edition of the Lando Lakes box. Dude, if you're a fan and you have some Lando Lakes butter, do this and I'll follow you on Twitter and shit. Tweet it to me.
Send Paul your tweets of you doing the Lando Lakes titty
shot. Dude, it's been too long since I've seen them fucking glorious Lando Lakes titties.
Oh, yeah. So, Trump's attacked her on this pretty recently. Just the day she announced, I think. Today, Elizabeth Warren, sometimes referred to by me as Pocahontas, joined the race for president. She will run as our first Native American presidential candidate, or has she decided that after 32 years, this is not playing so well anymore? See you on the campaign trail,
whoa,
Liz.
Ooh.
Ooh, Trail of Tears reference.
Damn. This is like, she's going to, because she did that I'm with her shit, she is going to come under every bit of scrutiny that Hillary did. And having leverage over her already with something like this, as stupid as it may seem and as inconsequential as it may seem, this is not good.
Yes.
Trump is a doofus. And if he's got one foot on your throat already, it's not a good look for your candidacy.
Yes.
Yeah, Pocahontas.
And I mean, this shit plays great with his base. With the Republicans love this shit.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
Well, look, 188,000 likes on
and
that.
And you know what's going to happen, too? Is that they're going to show her with, like, Scott Brown in that fucking 2012 campaign when he's, like, making, which is the same line of attack where this actually comes from, with Scott Brown originally came up with this. Or whatever his fucking lackeys or lobbyists, whoever. I mean, I don't know where the true genesis of it is. But she actually was like, you need to apologize for me for mocking my ancestry. And then she later came out and was like, I've lived as a white woman. So it's like, well, you've just contradicted everything you've said for 30 fucking years.
All right, so let's go ahead and take a quick look. A lot of people were offended by him saying trail in this, making a Trail of Tears joke as the president. I'm not surprised by it, and I actually don't understand why people are offended by it, because
this is Trump.
Yeah, it's Trump, and look at this fucking portrait. You know who that guy is right there? That's fucking Andrew Jackson. That's the guy who did the Trail of Tears.
That's
dude.
The $20 bill, TJ.
Yes, Andrew Jackson.
Dumbass.
He's on the $20 bill,
stupid.
Dude.
That's not Andrew Jackson. That's the $20 bill, TJ.
That's the $20 bill guy.
Oh, God.
God, you fucking dumb, TJ.
Oh, shit. My face. No, that's yeah. It's Andrew Jackson.
The guy that went to the Supreme Court, lost, and basically quoted Sophocles is like, "Do not command what you cannot enforce. I'm the president. Fuck you. We're gonna do whatever I fuck I say," and then just did it.
And as a result, anywhere between 2,000 and 8,000 Indians died on this stupid fucking trail. Well,
that's what a bunch of liberals want you to believe.
Yes,
the liberal trail.
So basically, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into it, but
did you just call it a stupid fucking trail, TJ?
Yes.
And I'm the one that really set the Native Americans back this episode, huh?
Let me explain something about you. Look, you ever played the game Oregon Trail?
Uh-huh.
A lot of white people died on that trail, didn't they?
Yes. Dysentery. I died of that every time.
Let me tell you something, TJ. These damn natives here, they didn't... Look, it wasn't the white people done killed them. It was just dysentery and accidents and shit. All right,
so how does she do... tracking Congress in the age of Trump, okay? So this is Elizabeth Warren's little score page, all right?
Okay.
So this is her Trump score, which is how often Warren votes in line with Trump's positions.
Okay.
So
okay?
Not very often.
So about 13.5% she votes with Trump.
That's a, for me, that's way too much.
Too much, too much.
Too much.
Oh, you'd be surprised. You go some other politicians, it's way higher.
I want a 0.001% Trump score.
The Trump margin, Trump share of the vote in the 2016 election in the member's state or district minus Clinton's. Okay, so she comes from a pretty anti-Trump place.
So disapproving of the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan and
Syria.
That's
an agree with Trump.
She agrees with Trump.
Disapprove. Funding the federal government through February 8th
without
money for a border wall.
It's pretty much party line on everything else.
Yeah, everything else here, pretty much Democratic mainstream positions. You can get a lot more here. This is on 538, projects.538.com/Congress Trump score with hyphens in between everything, /Elizabeth Warren, or you could probably just search that in Google and arrive at the same page.
What about, it'll be interesting to do this, if we do some other Democrats, we can actually look at their scores and see where they stack up, if they've been senators or congressmen people.
Okay. Who?
We can look at Bernie. Let's see where Bernie comes in. We're talking shit. A lot of people say he might run.
Get in there.
Come on, Bernie.
Dude, Nate Silver ain't tracking Bernie.
Oh, he's got to be.
She just put in his last name.
All right, I'm just going to
see.
Okay, I don't know why I found it that time. Oh,
Bernard.
Bernard. Yeah. Actually, a little higher.
Oh,
wow. He's a Trump capitulator, dude.
Oh, fuck, dude.
God damn
15 goddamn percent, Bernie?
Fuck, Bernie.
14.8%. Hugely anti-Trump
wants to
district.
Keep those troops in Afghanistan and Syria.
Disapproving of the withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan and Syria.
Bernie, what the fuck,
what
bro?
What the hell, Bernie?
Where else does he agree with Trump?
I believe this vote was actually, he was on the 26th side. So he was actually voting to withdraw the troops.
Oh.
Because I actually did a video on that vote. So it's kind of oddly worded here. Funding the federal... Yeah, well, you know, everything else is... I mean, Bernie pretty much votes the way you want him to vote. Or whatever you think he's going to vote.
I mean, but the thing was, like, the farm bill was one of the things I saw. That they
so what about... Give me, like, a good corporate fucking Dem. Like, should we look at a...
Looks like a Nancy Pelosi, dude.
Pelosi, dude.
The ultimate corporate Dem.
Let's look at Pelosi and Schumer. So not too bad.
20%.
20%.
That's a little lower than I thought, honestly.
I mean, Schumer's probably going to be right where Pelosi is because you don't see him without her.
They do. They're attached. No, a little higher.
Oh, wow.
A little bit higher.
Schumer's 25% of the way to Trump, huh?
Let's see. I want to see who's the highest Democrat for Trump.
Some red dog.
Kristen Sinema,
yeah. Red dog, yep. Or blue dog Democrat from Arizona. Well, I guess she's not technically
Trump score,
blue dog,
yeah,
she's a
59.
She beats
Trump
some.
Score.
She beats Ted Cruz.
Wow. She actually, well, no, she doesn't, because he's 92.1. So this isn't in order.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Okay, so there we
go. I thought it was in order.
So the number.
I was like, damn, how you
Jeff Sessions, 100%.
And he fucking hated him. 100%, dude. How you can't? How the fuck are you even get that close, dude? Who's 100% with anybody on anything? Fuck,
know, dude.
So I'm looking for the lowest. I'm
just
looking for the highest R. Okay,
there you
so
go.
The highest
Joe Manchin.
R.
Okay, yeah, West Virginia.
Joe Manchin the third.
Kristen Sinema.
Almost 60%.
Almost 60%. Kristen Sinema is only in second place.
Right.
Heidi Hitkamp.
I believe she lost her re-election.
Good.
North Dakota. See, all these
Let's see who the lowest is. Kristen Gillibrand.
There you go.
All right.
Gillibrand for president. So Elizabeth Warren's
pretty much at the bottom, dude.
Yeah. I don't know who. I've never heard of Jeff Merkley.
She didn't claim to be black or something, did she, Gillibrand? Gillibrand?
I don't know.
So it's basically the coastal people who are really opposed to Trump for the most part.
So anyway, that's pretty interesting. But we're here to talk about Elizabeth Warren, not every fucking buddy else.
Hey,
but
small digression.
So here's a little vote smart facts thing. It just kind of breaks down her positions on a few issues. They have this thing here. Elizabeth Warren has refused to provide voters with positions. Every politician's page I've gone to has had this, so no one is providing shit to this site. But anyway, I don't think her positions are going to come as much of a shock. She's
pro-choice.
She said yes to, in order to balance the budget, do you support an income tax increase on any tax
Makes
bracket?
Sense.
Obviously,
Democrat,
she does.
Yeah.
Obviously.
In order to balance the budget, do you support reducing defense spending? Yes, although she did vote for it, so I don't know how they necessarily come to that. Well, she voted against it, too, so I don't know. It's inconsistent. That's a really weird vote. I'm going to have to look more into that. Campaign finance. Do you support the regulation of indirect campaign contributions from corporations and unions? Yes. Do you support federal spending as a means of promoting economic growth? Yes. I mean, she has all the standard positions that you would imagine she fucking has.
Do you support government funding for the development of renewable energy? Of course, yes.
She's like pretty much a party line liberal.
Right.
But this website is, you know, giving you broad strokes.
It's pretty vague stuff. I mean, basically what you glean from this is she's a Democrat.
Do you support the legalization of marijuana for recreational purposes? Yes. All right. You know what?
She's got my vote.
Voting. Done.
Got my goddamn vote.
That's all I got here. I don't care about any other position.
Well, let's see what kind of tone her campaign is taking right out the gate. We're going to take a look at what I'm going to say, frankly, not to poison the well. I don't like this speech.
Okay.
It comes across to me as like Bernie Sanders and someone just sucked all the policy substance right out of it and replaced it with a lot of like just buzzwords and virtue signaling. And like there's a statistic or something thrown around here and there, but like there's no specific policy shit. And it begins in the most cliche politician way.
Ugh.
Look, let me just go ahead and play again the beginning of this for
Fuck
a
you.
Second. Just look at this Warren.
But there is one thing that Americans
Oh, not that
not.
One. I'm talking about this one.
I have written an op-ed about a piece of pending bankruptcy.
See, I like that. I like the way she talks there. It's calm and it's measured, and that's the Elizabeth Warren that I kind of liked.
Thoughtful, intelligent.
Right, and now it's this shit.
This is the fight of our lives.
So fake. That's not you. I don't believe that's you for a second.
Of our lives.
It's the same thing that happens when Hillary talks. Where it's like,
that fake big rally, like, we are going to do important things for this country. We are going to say no to racist rhetoric. We're going to say no to, you know, it's just like, come on.
You're not Winston Churchill. You're never
going to
be.
We'll fight them on the beaches. We'll fight them in the streets. You know, it's like, come on. You're
why
not gonna,
can't Pokemon go to the polls? She's not quite reached that level of cringe yet.
She will, though. She keeps this shit up.
It's going to happen.
Because it's going to slip out. Something cringy is going to come out if she keeps this type of energy up throughout the whole campaign.
Fight for change.
America, where dreams are possible, and America that works for everyone.
Platitudes! Platitudes!
We want America to be more even for everyone. Yay! Yay!
And I dream of opportunity for all!
Jingoism! Platitudes!
Wave the American flag behind me. America!
It's just like...
So disappointing.
This feels like Elizabeth Warren just really sold the fuck out. I mean, maybe
Where's
she sold that a long time
ago. Where's the fucking candidate
with
balls, man? Why isn't Richard why did he have to drop out?
I don't know. Maybe he didn't
have
his
balls. Should be up here giving this speech. They're all fucking you in the ass.
Fucking me, fucking you, fucking everybody. Woo! Yay, I'm waving the American flag.
Is that Will Wheaton, dude?
Does every black guy look the same to you, TJ?
Will Wheaton's not black. I'm talking about this fucker.
Oh.
Right here.
I thought you meant Wilt Chamberlain.
No, not Wilt Chamberlain. I'm talking about Will Wheaton,
dude. Oh, okay. Because Wilt Chamberlain's behind Will Wheaton in this picture.
Doesn't that look like fucking Will Wheaton to you?
Kinda. Is it him?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe.
Play it further a little bit. Let's see. No.
Nah, I don't think it is.
It's a lookalike, though.
That is why
he could play Will Wheaton.
I stand here today.
Probably better than Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To declare that I am a candidate for president of the United States.
Yay!
Yay! We're so happy.
Carefully Yay! Crafted rainbow coalition behind me. Yay! Wave the flags my campaign gave you and cheer at the appointed time. Smile at the appointed time and nod. Yes. This is so fake. Get out of here. Boo. Next.
Oh, such a fake chant, dude.
Warren.
How are these people behind her not sure she's going to do what she did last time and just hand her candidacy over to Hillary at the last moment?
All right, everybody. Hillary.
I drop out for Hillary. 2.0.
I'm with her.
I'm with her again!
Yay!
And again and again!
Oh my god. Persist? Wait a minute. Persist?
Persist!
Hold on! Is that what fucking politics have come to?
Persist!
Just persist through it! Persist!
Well,
holy
her
shit.
Big thing is fight.
You gotta crawl through that shit.
Like, she's really trying to capitalize. I'm like, this feels like this is a very carefully coordinated shift in Elizabeth Warren. Like, she was kind of like before, like you said, this folksy kind of like she's in it for the little guy. And now it's like she's totally at a corporate makeover. I mean, maybe she's making these cursory promises like, I'm not gonna take any big money. But everything else about her campaign feels very forced and very PR heavy. It just feels like we're just getting a slightly upgraded Hillary campaign.
What do I get the feeling that if I had a certain special brand of sunglasses, that persist would read obey and consume?
Don't
reproduce.
Get those.
Persist. Lower your standards.
I mean, that's not fucking
tolerate
far from
more.
It, man.
Tolerate more
persist?
Abuse.
Persist is not far from it.
Let me
persist,
tell you what.
Endure. Slog forward endlessly in the grinding mess that is the life
that
we've given you.
What is the definition of persist? I just want to know exactly.
I mean,
it basically means to just like... Yeah. It might as well just say like tolerate or something.
So continuing firmly or obstinately in the course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition.
Right. Yeah, it's basically just saying like we got a rough road ahead, America, so just keep going no matter what. Don't look back.
Persist, there's two persists on that sign. That's like 20 miles a long road
then again,
ahead of us.
Maybe it's not brainwashing. Maybe she's just being realistic. Like,
I don't know.
This is about the best we could. This is about the most hopeful message I can give you at this time. Persist.
Persist. God, what's it going to degrade to next election season?
Endure.
Get by.
Survive. Survive.
Just barely hang on.
Die quickly.
Pray for a quick death.
With the cleansing fire, purify the land.
That sign actually says persist 3 times.
2 men enter, 1 man.
Oh, please. And we've got the nice old teleprompter, dude. The old teleprompter.
Yes, sorry, the sun
I'm
is blocking the teleprompter.
I'm a human.
Shield
yes.
it.
She's got an earpiece in her ear right now with her political coach going, wave, Elizabeth. Smile. Elizabeth. Okay, lick your teeth.
Yes.
There's a little bit of lipstick on your teeth. Lick your teeth. Okay, you got it. You got it, Elizabeth. You got it. Smile. Keep smiling. That's right. Maybe wave again. Think about waving again. Elizabeth, can you hear me? Wave again.
Now, the truth is, I've been in this fight for a long time.
Warren.
Woo!
I grew up in Oklahoma in the ragged edge of the middle class.
Woo!
Now, when my daddy had a heart attack.
My daddy. When my daddy had his heart attack.
So if you go to her website, she's basically just verbatim doing her pitch on her website here.
I was on the razor's edge of middle class.
My daddy had a heart attack.
When my daddy 13. Had a heart attack.
I was waiting tables and I knew the American dream was just almost out of reach.
My
I hate
family
this
nearly tumbled over the financial cliff. But we didn't.
Woo!
Who was that?
Woo! You guys almost were fucked! Yeah! My family almost died. Woo! I was in a serious car crash. Woo!
Yeah!
I was 50 years old and had never worked outside the home. Walked to Sears and got a minimum wage job answering the phones.
that jobs.
Woo. There was another little woo.
I know. Woo. I love minimum wage.
Minimum wage job at Sears. Woo, yeah.
Woo, minimum wage job. Woo.
These people don't know when to woo.
Saved our house, and it saved our family. I ended up at a commuter
college.
No
woos for that.
$50.
No. The bad Ready stuff left. That happened to her. Woo. Yeah. Anything good or triumphant.
How about talking about America, how a minimum wage job would save no one's house now?
I think she's that's her. That's going to be her second.
Yeah, at least I hope that's where we go.
I know, I missed what was funny.
But think about it.
Nothing was.
Okay. That is how the daughter of a janitor managed to become a public school teacher, a law professor, and a United States senator. I believe in an America of opportunity.
Oh,
opportunity!
God, it's Hillary 2.0. Dude, it's fucking Hillary.
It's just Mars Attacks up in here.
Oh my God, just feels so forced. We just feel like we're getting another Hillary. Just like, I have a connection with humans and people. I like you people. Paul, you're a good human.
I'm with her. Yes, her.
I'm patting his head. He likes me.
Be your true fart-sniffing intellectual NPR voice self.
Like, what better to fucking counteract Trump for the Trump-weary people?
Right.
Than somebody that's calm and measured and not a fucking circus act.
I've spent most of my life studying what happened to families like mine, families caught in the squeeze, families that go broke. And what I found was that year after year, the path to economic security had gotten tougher and rockier for working families, and even tougher and even rockier for people of color.
Yeah, keep them down.
It's like, what?
Whoa, what?
I also found this wasn't an accident. It wasn't inevitable. No.
No.
Years,
America's
middle class has been deliberately hollowed out. And families of color have been systematically discriminated against and denied their chance to build some security.
And I've heard this one before. And you guys heard this speech before, man?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it started very quietly. The richest and most powerful people in America, they were rich. I mean, really rich. But they wanted to be even richer, and they didn't care who got hurt. So
you're right.
Right. Man, can we just drop the fucking, basically the myth of the middle class in America? It's like, I hear it so much, it's like, The middle class, you're gonna be the middle class. Like, man, you're just being sold this middle class line of bullshit.
Yeah, it's pretty dead.
Let me explain something to you. Like, maybe there was a middle class in this country for a few decades, but let's be honest. The middle class has always traditionally been honestly very, very small. There's poor people rich people.
You're the upper poor.
You're just basically, you're just a little, it's that people, like politicians and corporations, everyone is smart enough to know that people don't want to be referred to as poor. So it's like, oh, you're not poor, you're middle class.
Middle class.
You're in the middle.
You're the best surf.
Yeah, you're in the middle, right? Look, see, like, you're not poor. You're not, like, one of those unwashed masses. And you're not rich like us.
Yeah, between the poor person who makes, $12,000 a year and the rich person who makes, $100 billion a year, some outrageous amount, there's you in the middle at $30,000 or something.
For most people to be middle class, realistically in America, I would say you'd have to be somewhere around $250,000 to $500,000 a year, depending on where you live.
Yeah, and that's a small group of people.
Yeah, that's a very small. Like, most people think they make $30,000 a year, like, I'm middle class. Like,
you're not.
You're poor. In this country, especially with the housing costs rising, debt rising on almost every level of our society, everything becoming more and more unaffordable, it's like, the story she tells is really nice, but there's no way anyone could go down to Sears today if it was even open or they were hiring anybody.
Wish I could just vote for Scotty.
But let's say you just went to fucking Target. If you went to fucking Target and got a job, it's like, I'm going to save my family. Maybe it would help your family, but you're not saving the fucking house unless you have a fucking $300 a month mortgage.
I mean, like,
that money's already spent.
Look, we watched Elizabeth Warren in an interview. We watched her doing a speech on the Senate floor, and neither of them were cringy like this.
No.
This is terrible. This is not even the same fucking person. This is like a construct. That I'm just sick rings to death. Totally hollow.
I'm sick to death of this template speech that every fucking liberal candidate gives and then immediately walks back when we do elect them. It's just fucking dog shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when are we going to get somebody that speaks their fucking mind and tells the truth up there and is themselves?
Half past never, my friend.
Here, bit by bit, they lobbied Washington and paid off politicians to tilt the system just a little more in their direction. And year by year, bit by bit, more of the wealth and opportunity went to the people at
Look,
the very
the
top.
The fucking game is rigged. I totally agree. But when are the American people that these politicians all purport to represent going to stand up and say enough is enough?
Because here's my real question. Because
you know
this.
What? You can. It's like we always blame the system. So the system is so fucked up. But it's like, but if y'all keep playing the game, even when you know the deck is rigged, whose fault ultimately is that going to be?
Look, when you ask Americans about any sort of measure taxing billionaires more, you almost find no opposition on either side of the political aisle. So what she's doing right now is explaining something that everybody already fucking knows. Like, don't waste your time explaining the concept of wealth inequality to us. We get that. Tell us what the fuck you're going to do about it.
These people are all living that. They already know. Go look at these people on Instagram that just flaunt their massive fucking wealth. Most of it not derived from any sort of real ingenuity or they're just so intelligent they invented some amazing product or some piece of software or started some massive company. A lot of it's just inherited, like, look how, and a lot of it's fake, too. But the problem is that we already know the wealth inequality exists. I mean, like I said, the American people are fucking well-versed in this at this point. Like exactly what you're saying is right. It's like, what is your vision? What is the fucking vision? Don't tell us where we've been. We've already been there.
You're
going
to
Where are we going?
It's an inherently negative speech, and it's an explanatory speech, and it's a speech that feels like it's aimed towards dummies.
It's expository.
And it's not, I mean, it's just a bunch of jingoism, like Paul said, a bunch of platitudes and shit we've heard before. And if she wants to really stand out as a fucking presidential candidate, in my mind, she's going to have to do a fuck of a lot better than this. And what I mean by that is not make a prettier speech. What I mean by that is tell us your fucking plan.
Yeah.
Sell us your fucking plan, not a bunch of fucking, oh, it's going to be the land of opportunity again. How? And that's not another Indian jibe. Literally, how are you going to do it?
I mean, look at the faces of the people behind you right now. They're sick of hearing this shit. They're living it. They know that the middle class doesn't exist anymore. They know that the fucking economy is miserable for all but 1 or 2% of Americans. They don't need to be told that by a politician. They need answers to it. They need somebody that's going to give them a path forward. And that's not what this is. This is the same type of and timber of shit that we got out of Barack Obama. And we've all got that sour taste in our mouth, Syl. That he was going to cruise to fucking power on a wave of change and shit.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what. If you're waiting in this, how long is this speech? This fucking 9-minute speech for her to lay out a vision of any kind, it never happens.
Of course it doesn't.
No, it's all like this. It's all the platitudes. It's all the empty bullshit.
I'm just wondering how long
Bomb
people are going to even bother to show up to shit like this.
Yeah, if I was in the crowd, I'd be booing at
this
point.
It's beyond, like, insulting to have a politician sit and placate me yet again as things continue to get worse. Because I agree. Things are circling the drain. We don't need you to tell us that.
Persist. Persist.
Persist. Let it circle the drain, persist like that turd does, and just swim against the current.
I mean, say what you want about fucking Trump, but his thing was make America great again. I mean, he might have stole it from Reagan, whatever. But at least
his
ideas
might suck.
It's like
there was ideas.
There's
put
a
forward.
Vision of us being great and powerful and strong. Like, there's something that people can hold on to and say, "I want that."
So let me just ask you this:
what does persist fucking just keep going? Oh, try to take a shit. Oh, persist. Get that turd out. I got it out.
Let's say that you guys are advising Elizabeth Warren on her candidacy, knowing what you know from this episode and whatever you knew before it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to say to her if you have the goal in mind of I'm going to help this woman become president? What are you going to tell her to do? What are you going to tell her to go out there and say? What are you going to tell her to put forward?
I'm going to tell her to channel whatever she was channeling in that interview with Charlie Rose or whoever the fuck that was.
Yeah, go build a time machine and bring that bitch back here.
Yeah, start channeling that because that spoke to the truth behind things more than anything. You need to start talking about how the parties are both rotten and how we need to change fundamentally how they work from the fucking bottom up.
Lay out how Americans are getting a fucking raw deal overwhelmingly. And how that what through we can do through the political process to change that. Like, let's talk about healthcare. We spend way too much money per capita overall. We need universal healthcare. Talk about financial regulations. Talk about things that, like, how many people lost their houses, lost their asses. Talk about things that matter to the average person.
And use
and
that.
How you can improve yeah. upon that. Like, yeah, well, it's fine to talk about the past. But let's talk about how the past informs the future and how we're going to change things. In a tangible way.
Use that big fucking brain of yours to get Trump in a debate about fucking policy substance. Because when it comes to mudflinging, he's going to call you Pocahontas and make Trail of Tears jokes all day long right back into another fucking 4 years in the White House if you're the fucking nominee. The way that Elizabeth Warren beats Trump is if she fucking bogs him down and talks about policy so that America can see just how lacking his grasp truly is. You know, make him seem like the fucking dunce cap wearing buffoon he is and don't play his fucking game because you don't have that skill. That's what I'd be telling him.
I mean, you kind of put a caveat on what we thought by saying we wanted her in the White House. If I was just advising her, I'd tell her drop out.
That's why I said that because I knew that if you were just going to do it, you'd
drop
just say
out
that.
Now. She doesn't have it. She doesn't have the heart. She's sold out or whatever you want to say about it. She's just. This is bullshit. This is carefully crafted, corporatized bullshit where you made sure a black dude was behind you and you handed out fucking carefully crafted. Those people didn't bring those signs. Your campaign made those signs and you handed out those flags. And this was all crafted to make you look like somebody that people are excited about. Go out and be somebody that people are excited about.
All right. So, final verdict on Warren. You start, Scotty.
Yep, I'm going with Scotty on this one. Thumbs down from what she's shown so far.
Yeah, if you talk about Elizabeth Warren 15 years ago.
Yeah, the Elizabeth Warren that was sitting in that interview, I'd probably be like, okay, cool, let's
totally
see what she got, where she goes. But
the minute she's
that Warren is dead.
Hillary, the minute she fucking did something like that and betrayed her principles, and it just seems like the principles she has, she's just betrayed. So I'm sorry, I cannot respect that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, look,
I don't know how if I was a voter, I don't know how I trust she just doesn't do that again.
Yeah.
She runs a middling campaign and hands over what little support she does drum up to Hillary.
And or just
again
or
for another
DNC,
fucking 4 years of Trump,
or just basically to the corporate
or
Democrats,
to whatever the corporate Democrat
and
is.
We're in the same situation we are with Obama. You know,
I don't feel any fight in her voice. She's reading it too hard.
Yeah.
You know, if she'd experienced this shit, I got to be honest with you. This teleprompter shit bothers me with politicians, especially when they're talking about stuff like that. You're telling me she suffered enough as a barely middle class kid who was on the brink that she can't stand in front of people and talk about it from her heart?
Right.
I grew up like that. You guys had hard times growing up, lean times.
Sure.
We also had times of plenty.
Would you need a fucking teleprompter to get through a story in front of Americans
about,
to talk about how
life?
That made you feel?
No.
No.
Why would I?
Maybe an outline of a speech. I mean, like
that's what's missing from this.
She has some notes. I don't give a shit.
That's what's missing. It's the humanity. It's the warmth. It's the, like, actual connection with people. Because that's something Trump can't do. He can't do it. He exudes, fuck you, I'm a billionaire, eat my money, suck my dick. Piss in my mouth in fucking Moscow and tape it. I don't give a fuck.
And what does this say to you?
Milquetoast, middling, capitulating fucking liberal, man. Just the same fucking mayonnaise sandwich that we've been all eating since fucking I can't even remember when.
Yeah, and you know what? I, for one, don't want another fucking bite. So fuck this shit.
Yeah, I have to side with you guys. It kind of pains me to do it because there was a time when I really had some respect, but it was really when she refused to take Bernie's side even after he had her back numerous times and is clearly closer to him politically. Just that sort of reality is like, no, I can't deal with you. And then just the Indian thing is stupid, and this speech really rubs me the wrong fucking way strongly for the exact same reasons Paul described. Now, fuck this. I gotta say, is she progressive? Maybe a little, but she's a corporatist through and through, and she's a politician through and through, and I can't say that she's worth it. Now, maybe she'll turn around. Maybe she'll find that spark. Maybe she'll find that magic. Maybe she'll figure out a way to connect. I don't see it happening. I think that this is what you got now, and it's just gonna get worse.
I agree.
Dead on arrival.
Thanks for watching.
Thanks, guys.